ready.
I'd sit in for you without our
help. What's that?
I'd sit in for you without our help.
Right, praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to be here tonight. We're going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast brought us here this night. We thank Thee for this place that Thou hast given us, where we can come together and worship Thee and sing Thy praises, glorify Thy name, and study Thy word. I pray, O God, that Thou would lead us here tonight. I pray that Thy Spirit would flow. I pray that Thy presence would be here. And I pray that Thy perfect will be done. Let Thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us as we sing unto Thee and as we worship Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thy perfect will be accomplished here tonight. In Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 83 in the chorus book here tonight. Number 83 from The Rising of the Sun.
Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Well, let's sing number 85. It's right here on the same page. Number 85, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Let's go to number 180. 180 and sing, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 180. Praise the Lord. Number 180. Yeah.
so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me.
Yes, that Spirit of God that was promised to us, that Holy Ghost. And the Scriptures tell us that it will flow like a river and fall like the rain. Amen. And we need that so very much. Oh. Let's go to number 9 and sing, "The Spirit of the Lord Shall Come."
Yes.
Number 9.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
It shall flow like a river. It shall flow like the rain. It shall flow from the mountains, the valleys, or the plains. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all. The Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of God. Well, I feel like singing about the Spirit of God tonight. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's go to number 4 and sing "There Is a River," number 4. There came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. It filled their hearts with singing and gave them peace within. Ticking on, so we are going to take up the collection now. Matt, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for the many blessings that Thou hast given us. We know, O God, that we owe Thee everything. We know that we would be completely helpless without Thee. And we are so thankful that Thou hast kept us, that Thou hast sustained us, that Thou hast provided for our needs so that we can be here and gather in Thy name and worship Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would help us to continue to be fruitful, to do Thy will. Lead us and direct us in all things, I pray, and give us Thy great wisdom. Help us, O God, to know how these funds should be used for Thy purpose and for Thy glory, for we know that these funds belong to Thee. And we pray, O God, that Thou would continue to direct our paths. We pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to sing one more song, and you know, there's... I didn't really pick out any songs tonight. It just all kind of came together. And there's another song that is just on my mind that I'd like to sing, and it's in the hymnal. I believe it's number 269. I just need to double check that, but I believe it's 269. Yes, Springs of Living Water, number 269. Turn us over to Shirley in just a moment. I do want to pray about one thing before we do that, though. As most of you know by now, my brother-in-law, Carl, underwent surgery yesterday to remove a cancer. So I was with him for most of the day yesterday, actually. It took quite a while. And as far as we can tell, the operation went well. But we're just going to pray that that cancer will be completely gone and that he won't have to undergo any further procedures. So we're believing and trusting in God for that and for a complete recovery. So we're going to pray for Carl right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night for our brother Carl, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven and continue to work in his life. We pray, O God, that thou would ensure that this cancer is completely removed. We're praying, O God, for complete recovery. We're praying, O God, that it would not return, but we ask, O God, that thou would have mercy on him. And I pray, O God, that thou would give him a good report, good results. We pray, O God, that he would have a quick recovery from his procedure, and let him feel thy spirit and thy presence. Encourage him, I pray, for we know how difficult this has been for him. And I pray, O God, that thou would touch him with thy mighty hand. I pray that he would feel thy presence even now. Let him feel thy virtue flow, O God, for we know, O God, that thou art our great deliverer, our healer, our almighty Savior, and that we know that thou canst do all things and all things well. So we bring this petition before thee, trusting thee completely and believing in thee for a good report. In the name of the Lord Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we will turn it over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord. Praise God. You know, I'm very thankful that we can come here and worship the Lord. I know it just looks foreboding outside. Kind of have felt like that the last couple days. We just didn't know what's going to happen next. And it could be a storm. It could be a tornado. God only knows, but he knows how to shelter his people. He knows how to keep us. He said he would be with us even until the end of the world, and here we are. We're here at this moment. We're in his house. And how precious this is. It's wonderful. And I just was thinking, you know, before church here tonight, you know, how we do need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. How we need it like nothing else, really. And here we had all those songs tonight, you know, and all how it comes as a rain, the Holy Ghost shall come. And I was thinking, you know, there's nothing that can stop it. What God ordains, what God declares, that he will do. There's nothing that can stop the rain. Even though they have tried, they have attempted. Oh, yes, they do every ugly thing they can think of to get in the way. Try to push their own agenda and their own ways of thinking. And, you know, to make this world a cultic or whatever else they can do to force even Lucifer upon us if they could. But praise the Lord has put something deep within his people. And there's a yearning, there's no other to whom we can turn to but the living God. There's none other that can fill us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And what a wonderful thing it is that we can come to him believing that he is that which he has promised that he will do. Praise the Lord. There's nothing too hard for him, you know, and what God ordains, he will do. Praise the Lord. We're promised the gift of the Holy Ghost. We repented and got baptized in his name. Oh, yes, it says ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it wasn't just for those few people back then, but for this promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, he's still calling. He's still calling tonight. You know, I don't know when that last person is going to come to the Lord. Could be any time from what I can see. And yet, you know, as far as I know, there's an open door right now, and he's still calling. But oh my, once that door shuts, once it's shut, there's no man that can open it. You know, it's going to be closed. It's going to be closed for eternity. Just as, you know, when God shut that door on the ark,
There was no one that could enter in. You know, there was no one that could go out. It was closed. And you know, what was, you know, who was in was in. Who was out, you know. And it's going to be the same when Jesus comes. You know, those that are righteous are going to be righteous still. Those that are holy, they're going to be holy still. But on the other hand, oh yes, those that are filthy, they're going to be filthy still. Those who are unjust, they're going to be unjust still. There's no changing at that moment. The door is shut. But yet, right now, we have an open door. Oh, yes, we can bend our knee. We can, you know, oh, wow, we can worship Him. We can come to the Lord. We can repent and turn from our ways and, oh, determine that we're going to serve the Lord. We still have these moments. Oh, it's still upon us. And how precious it is. We don't know the day or the hour of His return. We don't know when that door is going to shut. But all we know is we better make haste. We better enter in while we can. We better not put it off for the next 10 years. Oh my. But I pray that the Lord will call even here tonight. I pray, oh yes, that anyone who has not fully given their hearts to the Lord will make haste tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Oh, praise the Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we know that no one can stop the reign of Your Spirit, Lord. Oh, God, we know no one can stop You, Lord. Oh, God, but Your word is going forth, Lord. It's going to go where You have ordained it to go, Lord. And I know this gospel must be preached in all the world until the end come, Lord. I pray, Lord, oh, God, that You work tonight. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that You make Your will known. Oh God, I pray that You speak to us. I pray that You put faith in our hearts. God, I pray that You bind the strong man and every hindering spirit. Oh God, everything that would try to overwhelm and stop, oh Lord, and hinder. Oh God, but I pray, oh Lord, that faith would rise in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Oh God, that You'd put something deep within us, Lord. Oh God, that we would be anchored in Thee, Lord. That our roots could go way down, Lord. Oh God, and oh Lord. Oh God, that there would be nothing that could yank us up, Lord. Oh God. Oh God, for we're anchored in the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, we just thank You, Lord, the solid promises that You've given us. Oh God, help us to believe them. Oh God, help us to have faith, Lord. Oh, help us to put our faith and hope and trust in You, Lord. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that You take us to that higher ground, oh Lord. Oh, ground us, Lord. Oh God. Oh, Lord, that we might live in Thy sight, that we might know Thee, Lord. Oh, God, that we might be yielded to Thee, Lord, that Thy presence might come down, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that You might come and sup with us, Lord, for You do stand at the door and knock. Oh, God, if any man will hear Thy voice and open the door, You said You would come in and sup with him. Oh, yes, and You with him, Lord. Oh, God, we just thank You, Lord. We ask that You would move in us tonight, that You come and sup with us, Lord. To move in us, Lord Jesus, and help us in Jesus' name. Help faith to rise in our hearts. Oh, God, let this word go forth, O Lord, according to Thy directive, according to Thy will, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we thank You and praise You, Lord. Ask You to be here, Lord. Bind the strong man in every hindering spirit. Oh God, speak forth, O Lord. Oh God, through this vessel I ask and I praise Thee, Lord, knowing that without You I could do nothing. I praise You and thank You, Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Ephesians, the third chapter here tonight, and I'll see how the Lord might lead us in this simplicity of His Word. But I thank God for it because, oh my, you know, no matter how many times we hear it, it seems like it's always something new. It's always something precious, you know. Those words from heaven, that those reminders that we need all the time. So it seems because of our, you know, our flesh, our forgetfulness. But thank God, here we are tonight, you know, and I thank God for everybody online that's joined us. And those of you that will someday listen to this recording, we just thank God to all. We still have this privilege, and we have His Word. We can open it up here tonight. Oh, what a gift we've been given. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So going here to Ephesians, the third chapter.
Praise God. And as Paul is writing, he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And here's Paul, he's writing as a prisoner. And from what references I have, it was around 64 A.D. that he wrote this. And, you know, that's not too long before, you know, the fall of Jerusalem. And I'm sure it was on the latter end of his life. But here he is. He had loved these people here at Ephesus, and he's encouraging them and writing the things that were on his heart that he felt that they needed to yet know. And so here he is. He's making reference here in that second verse to the dispensation of the grace of God. And I'll tell you what, there's, you know, been these different periods through the ages, and I'm so thankful that God has put us in this period of time that we can call grace. And we know that there were the four times in reference made to them in Romans, the second chapter. We're going to go there just for a moment here. Romans, the second chapter. The 11th verse there in Romans 2, it says, "For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." So here there's a reference in verse 12 here in Romans 2 where it talks about those that sinned without the law. And, you know, prior to the time of Moses, before Mount Sinai and all, there was that time where they didn't have a written law. But it says here that even so, if they lived in that period, if they lived in that dispensation, and they had sinned without the law, that they were also going to perish without the law. And then it makes reference to the time of the law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So here we have two periods of time that are indicated here in this 12th verse. The time before the law and the time of the law. And, you know, likewise, you know, there was still a need. There was still a recognition of sin, because either way, sin was going to be judged. If it was the time before the law or if it was time of the law. But praise the Lord, there was something that was beyond that time period when there would be a dispensation called grace. When our Heavenly Father would bring about the coming of His precious Son. You put on flesh and come to this world as the flesh of God. Oh, come to this world to bring forth grace so that the law would be written in our inner man, so it would be written on the tables of our hearts. And praise the Lord for that, because, you know, we don't have to offer sacrifices for sin. We don't have to atone for sin by the giving of a lamb or a goat or even a turtle dove. That price has been paid, yes, because, praise the Lord, Jesus Christ atoned for our sin. Oh, that precious Lamb of God, without sin, without blemish, who was ordained before the foundation of the world, but came, oh yes, when the fullness of the time was come, to bring forth salvation. Oh yes, to come and seek those that were lost, that we might live under His grace. Oh, praise the Lord. What a gift we've been given. Yeah, that wonderful moment when the fullness of the time had come and God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Oh, yes, and because of that, oh, yes, we are no more servants, but we're sons and daughters. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. And He's adopted us. And when He adopted us, He brought forth that Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit that was in Jesus. He brings it forth as the Holy Ghost, that we might be the temple of the Holy Ghost, that He might indwell in our very being, that we might be filled with His Spirit, be led by His Spirit, be His adopted sons and daughters. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a gift we have been given. Praise the Lord. So, how it continues here in this third chapter of Ephesians, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. And we had a reference to this in the very first chapter of Ephesians, and just looking at that ninth verse just for a moment here. You know, this was something that had been hidden. And praise the Lord, you know, Paul was so used in such a mighty way. You know, he had that training in his early life. I believe he was part of the Sanhedrin court. And I'm sure he had tremendous portions of Scripture memorized. And you know, when God began to work in him, and I believe we're probably going to be talking about that a bit tonight, but when God began to work in him and change him, he had enough knowledge from that which had been written to put it together and to interpret it. And God revealed things to this man. And this was one of the hidden things that they had not known in the ages before. So it tells us in Ephesians 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Oh God, in his mighty plan, what he ordained from the beginning of the world, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, this period when everything would be fulfilled, it was that time when God was going to send forth his Son, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Praise the Lord. And more is explained here in this third chapter here of Ephesians. And you know, it's pretty neat here that, you know, we're privy to this. You know, this had been hidden. They didn't know this. They didn't get it. And remember last week we talked about how Peter was prepared to go to the Gentiles, and you know, God had to give him that vision. Oh, that great sheet that came down from heaven with all those unclean items that was upon it. And the voice that said, "Rise, Peter, eat and kill." And he said, "Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything that's unclean." But three times it happened, and God was preparing him. God was showing him. And all at once, that knock on the door, and he realized, oh, here are these men from Cornelius. And he was to go with them. And not to question anything. God was leading him. God was showing him that he was going to bring forth the glorious gospel to the Gentile people. And there was Cornelius, that centurion, whose heart God had prepared. Oh, that man who was doing everything he knew to do, giving alms and believing God and doing all the good that he could do, praying always, trusting the Lord, having faith, fearing God. God prepared his heart. Oh, God told him what to do, but he was going to use a man to help him, to show him the way of salvation. And it was such a surprise to Peter. Oh, yes. Oh, while he was preaching to Cornelius and his household, and he'd gathered all his relatives, he'd gathered all his friends, I would have just liked to have been almost like a fly on the wall to have seen this great event, you know, as they were all gathered there in that home. And oh, you know, Peter's declaring the word of God. He's really realizing that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation
He that feareth God is accepted of him. He's realizing it. And you know, he didn't even finish his message. He didn't even finish his sermon, because all at once God began to pour out his spirit on Cornelius and those people that were there. Oh yes, they began to speak with tongues and magnify the Lord. And oh yes, those that were with Peter, and Peter likewise, were so amazed that God had poured out of his spirit even upon the Gentile people. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful moment. Oh, and I'm so thankful that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God is accepted of him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God revealed these things to his people, his ministers. And here Paul has this insight, this thing that had been concealed before. Verse 6, it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. It was not restricted just to one race of people. The law had been given to the Jews, primarily, you know, but this would be something that would encompass all those that the Lord our God should call, those that were near and those that were far off. And that revelation, was made known to Paul, which in other ages, he said, was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So no difference between Jew or Greek, no difference between bond or free, no difference between male or female. We're all one in Christ. And Paul realized, it was for that reason that he had been made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Oh, God, who had worked mightily in him. He said in verse 8 here in Ephesians 3, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's so much. Oh, the wealth, the knowledge of God is so abundant. Oh, there is no limit to it. It just flows on and on and on. And, you know, our cup can always be fuller, because there's always more of God. There's always more that we could understand. There's always more that we could receive. There's always more faith that we could grasp. There's always more. God's riches are unsearchable. Oh, but praise the Lord, we get little glimpses. We could be partakers, and you know, we could realize the whole gift of God, where he's given us the earnest of spirit, the earnest of his inheritance, the down payment, because he's going to come back one of these days. And make it known to us, who have believed, who have walked that road of faith and have lived for the Lord. He's going to make it known the inheritance that he has reserved for them that love him. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just going back here for a little bit to Acts and looking at the 8th chapter here for a moment. I want us to realize tonight, you know, Paul was saying there in Ephesians that he was less than the least of all the saints for the grace that was given him. And if we look at the 8th chapter of Acts, we realize the person that Saul was before the Lord called him. There in the book of Acts, first verse, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and that's referring to Stephen, who was the first martyr. whose testimony is given in that seventh chapter. And then they stoned him. But Saul was a partaker of that stoning. He had consented unto Stephen's death. And it wasn't an easy time for the Church of the Living God. Oh, it was early in the early church there. It was, you know, not that long after Jesus had ascended, but it was a time of great persecution, it tells us. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So this is kind of an amazing thing, you know. God was using this persecution also, because the church began at Jerusalem, but it had to spread. And so persecution began to scatter them. And so pretty soon we have it going to Samaria. And, you know, that's, you know, not the only place. It goes throughout all Judea and Samaria. And, you know, 10th chapter of Acts, we realize it's going to the Gentiles. It's going to Cornelius. And things begin to change. And then, of course, when Saul is converted, he's going to preach to the unknown world as far as the gospel is concerned. He's going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. But prior to this, here it is, you know, the early church, there was persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And it tells us, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. That's an amazing thing. You know, we mentioned earlier how, you know, you can't stop. You can't stop God. You can't stop the rain. You can't stop God from moving. And you know, the devil might have thought that persecution would stop God from working. Oh, from the Holy Ghost, from spreading, from the, you know, the resurrecting power moving in the hearts of men and women. But it didn't. Instead, it scattered them abroad, and they went everywhere, it tells us, preaching the word, fulfilling the commission. Jesus had told them to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There in the Mark, the 16th chapter. So it's happening. Saul, in spite of the havoc that he's causing, can you imagine the horrendous stress, you know, going into every house, the homes of the believers, and hailing them, taking them, carrying them off, men and women, and committing them to prison. Not an easy time at all, but Jesus had told them that if they persecute you in one city, to go to the next. And here, that's what they're doing. It spread the gospel. And we know, as this eighth chapter continues, and I don't plan to go through the whole eighth chapter, but Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And praise the Lord, they all gave heed with one accord. That gospel went forth. And mighty works were done. It talks about unclean spirits that cried with loud voices that came out of those that were possessed with devils. And those with a palsy were healed. Those that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Oh, praise the Lord. That's an exciting chapter. But I wanted to go yet to the ninth chapter of Acts, because we're talking about Saul here at the moment. And we just read in the beginning of the eighth chapter how he was going to all the cities and, you know, delivering these Christians to prison, both men and women. And here it's continuing in the ninth chapter of Acts. It says in the first verse, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. You know, he wanted to infiltrate everything he could. You know, whatever came to his mind, now he was going to go to Damascus, to the synagogues. And he says that if he found any of this way, speaking of the Christian way, followers of Jesus Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. But praise the Lord, God was going to stop this. It says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Oh, all at once he was stopped. This light so blinding that it actually literally blinded him. But this voice from heaven speaking to him, asking him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he answered, he said, verse 5, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, oh, God identified himself. The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. All at once, Paul, who was still called Saul at this moment, was stopped. All those intents that he had in his heart, those things that he was breathing out, those vehement inner desires, those threatenings that were deep within him. All at once, God stopped this man. And all at once, he realized that he was not doing the will of God. He was persecuting the church of the living God. And the Lord identified himself as Jesus, the one that he was persecuting, telling him, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oh, you're doing this in opposition to my will. He'd always fighting it. He's fighting the will of God with the evil things that were in his heart. But God stopped him. God had other plans for this man. And in verse 6 it says, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And here again I marvel how God uses people. You know, that angel could have just plain told him, or it was actually the angel of the Lord, you know, identified himself as Jesus. You know, he could have told him precisely what to do. But God uses man, and we see that there with Cornelius. He was to go to Joppa and send for Peter there, who was at the house of Simon the Tanner, and he would tell him what he needed to do. And likewise, in this case, Saul was to go into Damascus, and there it would be told him what he must be, what he must do. And so the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, obviously. It was so forceful. The light was so brilliant that he fell to the earth, and you know, he had, oh no, power of his own at that moment. Oh, what a realization. But God was stopping him. God had gotten his attention. Oh, and life would never be the same for this man from that moment on. So he was told to go into the city, and those that were with him journeying, they heard a voice, it says, but they couldn't see what was really happening. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Obviously, he was blind. It says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And God began to speak to another disciple. It tells us in verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, here's God preparing Ananias, just as God prepared Peter, the 10th chapter of Acts. God is preparing Ananias, and you know, this is not an easy assignment. Just as, you know, in the Old Testament, when God told Jonah that he was to go to Nineveh, that was not an easy assignment. And you know, Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. In fact, he got on a ship to go another way. He went on the ship to go to Tarsus instead. But I'll tell you what, God's will is going to be done. You know, God is sovereign, and you know, it's going to be done. And you know, Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Oh, praise the Lord. No, like I said, not an easy assignment. I think all of us would felt the same way if, you know, that person that we knew was coming, you know, into the city to, you know, deliver the Christians to prison, probably to death. You know, we would, you know, look forward to seeing him eye to eye and praying for him and all this and that, but there was something beyond this. And, you know, we don't always know what assignments the Lord may yet give us. You know, that's almost like, you know, somebody who's, you know, a member of ISIS or something. Yeah, you know, and, you know, I've heard that God has been talking to some of those people. He's been giving some of those Muslims dreams and visions of himself and, you know, a realization beyond what they ever could know of themselves, that Jesus is God, Jesus is Lord. Oh, and the need to give the heart, to bend the knee to the Lord Jesus. And so here it is. God is preparing Ananias. And the Lord told him in verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Praise the Lord. And that was enough. Ananias obeyed. It says in verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. And I know he laid his hands on him. And as he did that, he prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those scales that were on, as if they were on his eyes, whatever was covering his eyesight, fell off so that he could see again. And not only that, not only in the physical sense, but I'm sure those other things that had hindered him, God had now touched him in such a way that that spiritual blindness now was going to be ended. He was going to be able to see and understand the great, wonderful things of God, the revelations that God would yet show him. And praise the Lord, it tells us he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I'm sure he received the gift of the Holy Ghost likewise. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't say he spoke in tongues right here and there in this verse, but I'll tell you, if you go to 1 Corinthians, that 14th chapter, Paul wrote, he said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. He knew the value of that. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, you know, if you're going to make intercession at all, you're going to realize all the great blessing the Lord takes over and that tongue begins to pray in an unknown tongue, and you begin to make intercession for things that you really don't know of yourself, but the Spirit of God knows. You can pray in an unknown tongue, and God begins to work. He begins to do things that we don't know, we personally couldn't identify, but God begins to work. And I just thinking at the moment, just those few years ago, when, you know, I had that opportunity to pray for Dawn's mother there in Michigan, and you know, such a moment. They believed she was dying at that point, and Dawn was so desirous that something would change her mother before it was all over. And praise the Lord, she asked me to pray for her mother. Remember, I called the hospital where this dear woman, Marion, was, and prayed for her. And, you know, honestly, it just didn't feel like anything happened. I, you know, we hung up, and I got down on my knees. I began to pray in tongues. And praise the Lord, you know, wasn't that long. Maybe 20 minutes later, again, the phone rang, and it was Dawn again, and said, "Mother's ready to pray with you now." Praise the Lord. I tell you, it was night or day. I don't know how the Lord did it, but God had worked out something that was hidden, something in this woman's heart. And praise the Lord, this time when I prayed with her, oh, she was crying out. Oh, she was saying, "Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord, I need the Holy Ghost." And, oh, she was pouring out her heart. And praise the Lord, it was a wonderful moment. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, she didn't die at that point. She lived to tell it. And, you know, it was so amazing because, oh, down the road in a couple months, she asked her daughter, she said, "You know, when I was so sick, I don't remember anything except Shirley praying with me." And, you know, she said, it was really something because Shirley was right there. I could see Shirley. And, you know, we had never met at that moment. You know, it was like the Lord had taken me there. You know, had taken me there. And His presence came down and met the needs of this woman. Praise the Lord, she lived to tell it. But there's nothing too hard for our God. Oh, He can make those scales fall off, whether they be physical or whether they be spiritual. He knows how to open up the blind eyes. Oh, He knows how to make that person that's been, oh, so backward and so resistant to the power of God. He knows how to change that life. There is nothing too hard for God. Oh, yes, He can bring the worst of sinners to Himself if He so ordains and wills. Praise the Lord. And here it is in this ninth chapter of Acts. There was Saul of Tarsus, oh, this man who was persecuting the Christians with a desire to go into Damascus, oh, and arrest as many as he could. But God intervened. God intercepted that. Oh, praise the Lord. And this man was never the same again. Praise the Lord. It tells us here in the ninth chapter of Acts, verse 19, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days of the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God." Oh, what a difference that made. "But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." Oh, this man, God knew what a tool he would be for the kingdom of God. You know how God was going to change him. And he that persecuted the church was now going to be a carrier of gospel. And he was going to bring it forth. God was going to give him understanding and revelations, power and strength. And oh, many would come to know the Lord because of this man's testimony. Praise the Lord. That's our God. Oh, we can't limit him. We don't know who he's going to call out to. Oh, yet we'll be saved. But here it was. Oh, things changed. Praise the Lord. And, you know, pretty soon they were looking to kill this man. But God delivered him, and it tells him, you know, there at Jerusalem, when finally it was time for him to go to Jerusalem, they were afraid of him, as you could guess. But one named Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, declared unto them how he'd seen the Lord in the way, this is verse 27, and that he'd spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Oh, yes, now they're coming after him because he's preaching Jesus. You know, he knows who the living God is. He knows why Jesus came to this world. And he's boldly proclaiming it and proving to even those that were Jews that Jesus indeed was the very Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Anointed One, that he was God in the flesh. Praise the Lord. And there was a plot to kill him. Here it mentions, 29th verse, they went about to slay him, the Grecians, I suppose, in this case, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. And one more thing I just want you to note here. It says in verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified in walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Oh, the Lord began to work mightily, and they had rest from the persecution. God had brought the persecutor to himself. And what a mighty vessel he became for the cause of Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So going back here to Ephesians, the third chapter, those were Saul's beginnings. That's how God interrupted his life, his intentions, all the things that he had set forth to do. It's true, he considered himself to be less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given, verse 8, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Oh, yes, God was going to use him mightily. He made those journeys, oh, yes, into Asia Minor, those other parts of the world where he proclaimed Christ to the Gentile people. And what was he doing? God had showed him, he had given him understanding, the knowledge of the mystery that was in Christ that had not been made known. But in verse 9 it says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of a mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, created all things by Jesus Christ. Oh, he was revealing it now, the thing that they had not seen, that they could not formerly understand. But now it was clear. Keep your hands, if you would, in Ephesians, but just going to Colossians, just a couple epistles later here, you just look at the very first chapter of Colossians. Again, he mentions this. If you look at Colossians, the first chapter, verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now it is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Oh, praise the Lord. What is this mystery that's been revealed, that's been made known? Praise the Lord, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord, that wonderful, oh, gift that God has given us, that God was going to pour out of His Spirit. He was going to dwell in our very inner being. Oh yes, and not just to the Jews, but also to the Greeks. Oh yes, to the Gentile people. That was the glory of that mystery that was unfolded, that had been made known, that Christ would be in us. The hope of glory. Oh yes, that He would put, God would put His Spirit within our very being, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And yes, it takes the foolishness of preaching to declare this. And so, yes, we preach, we warn every man and teach every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Oh yes, for that moment that we're preparing for, we're going to stand before Almighty God, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Oh God, begin that work in Paul. Oh yes, and how, oh, he mightily proclaimed the unfoldings of the mystery that had been hidden from those ages earlier, that God would be in us, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Again, here in Ephesians 3, verse 9 again. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. All the things that would unfold to His people, to the people of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, that He was going to bring forth a church, a glorious church, without blemish, without spot, without any such thing, that it would be holy and without blemish. Oh, that perfect church that He was going to bring forth, His eternal purpose that would unfold. Oh, yes. 1 Corinthians 2, just going here quickly. Paul is saying in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 4, my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Oh, the wisdom of men is, you know, it's foolishness of God. And God's wiser than, you know, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. The weakness of God is stronger than man. God doesn't call very many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. He has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of this world, the things which are despised, God has chosen. Oh, wow, praise the Lord. But the thing is that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And in verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, the things that they could not understand. Even the devils couldn't understand it, could they? Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. All the things that were reserved, oh yes, for this dispensation, this period of grace that would be unfolded as God would unfold that plan that He had foreknew from the foundation of the world, that it would be revealed to us. And praise the Lord for it. And here in Ephesians 3, verse 12, in who we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Oh, we could go boldly into that throne of grace to obtain mercy. Oh, yes, to find help, to find mercy in the time of need. We can go before that throne of grace, before the one who is our great high priest, even Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We have boldness. We have access with confidence by the faith of God that has been given for us. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Oh, there is a name by which the children of God are called. Oh, yes, and we're buried in those waters of baptism. We're identifying with that priceless, precious name. Oh, that name that identifies us. Yes, he tells us in Galatians, the third chapter, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Praise the Lord. Tells us in Colossians, the second chapter. Praise the Lord. Verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And then, praise the Lord, we're buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Praise the Lord. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have been quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Praise the Lord. We go down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those waters of baptism, identifying with Jesus Christ, being buried with Him. We rise to walk in newness of faith, newness of life, knowing that those trespasses, those former sins, have been totally taken from us, totally forgiven. No more penalty, no more price to pay. Totally remitted in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you know, it's going to be a wonderful thing when we stand before God, because, you know, when we finally see Him, and we see Him as He is, we behold Him there, the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Oh, it tells us we shall see His face. Oh, they couldn't look on His face the time of Moses. They couldn't look on His face and live. But oh, at that point, and oh, we stand before the throne of God. Oh, with our newly created bodies, with, you know, that resurrection form that God is going to give us. We stand before Him in His image. He tells us we shall see His face. We're going to see His face, and it says His name shall be written in their foreheads. Oh, somehow, yes, we identify with Him in the waters of baptism. And that name that is above every name, that name by which every knee is going to bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, of things under the earth. Oh, that name by which all are going to confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That saving name, that name of Jesus Christ, by which we are saved, we are identified with Him. And praise the Lord for it. Oh, the whole family of God in heaven and earth is named that name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be identified. It's going to be upon us. It tells us in verse 16 here in Ephesians 3 that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Oh, that strengthening that comes as we renew it day by day. Oh yes, we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may show what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. It comes by that contact with the living God. Oh yes, when He puts His Spirit in us and we begin to walk with Him, we begin to talk to Him, we begin to dwell in Him, you know, His life becomes our life. We put on Christ. We're made again in His image. And we're strengthened with might by His Spirit. Oh yes, what do we do when we need strengthening? Oh yes, we go to Him, don't we? We bow our knee to Him. We submit our hearts to Him. We come to Him knowing that He is able to give us the faith that we need. He's able to strengthen us with His might from above in the inner man, so that, oh yes, we could go on, so we could continue, so we can walk with Him, so we can be transformed by that renewing of our mind, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, all the riches, the fullness of God, you know, all the breadth, all the height, you know, all the depth, all of that. You know, the completeness, the fullness, that we might somehow obtain unto it, that we might somehow comprehend it. And oh, there's so much of God. But yet, when He's truly in our heart, when He's truly given it to us, oh yes, that love of Christ, and that love which passeth knowledge, it's beyond the things, oh, that we could, you know, try to associate with here in this world. It passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And it says, as this chapter is ending, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Oh, that work that He does in our heart. Oh, as He begins to mold us, as He begins to change us, as His Spirit begins to rise within us. Oh, that one that's able to do exceedingly above that which we ask or think. There's no limit to our God. That's who we serve. We serve one that has no bounds. You know, there's no end to Him. There's no limit. You know, we can always reach out and get more. There's no need that's too great. Oh, there's no circumstance that's too dire. There's no health problem that's too severe. God is able to do all things abundantly, exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Oh, praise the Lord, the one, oh, that fills the universe, the depths, the knowledge, oh, bounds. There's no limit to our God. And this is according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, we can always have more. You know, we can always have more faith, and we can always go and ask Him to fill up our cup and give us more. Oh, there's always more that we could have. We allow Him to work in us. Oh, you know, it's just, you know, a simple thing, but yet, you know, it means when we surrender our heart, that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt us in due time. We give it to the Lord. We have to acknowledge the fact that we need Him. We have to acknowledge the fact that we're a sinner. Oh, yes, that we can't make it on our own. And, oh, but we desperately need the Lord. There has to be that cry that comes from the inner being, that cry for mercy. But praise the Lord, He hears those cries. Oh, yes, when the heart is humble, when the heart cries out, oh, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Hear me, dear Lord, as He stands at the door and knocks. Oh, praise the Lord. We can just submit to Him. We can just let Him come in. Oh, take all that turmoil. Take all that sin. Take all that past. Take all those hindrances. Take all those sicknesses. Take all those conflicts. Oh, we can give it to Him. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think. Praise the Lord. Oh, we just get to know, you know, little by little, you know, more and more and more. He comes to us, you know. He accepts us as we are initially. But praise the Lord, He begins to work in us. He begins to change us. He begins to help us so that we might be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Oh, so we might be like the Lord Jesus, that we might put on Christ, that we might be identified with Him, that they might see that we are His disciples and know that we have been with Him. Praise the Lord. We can be with Him. Oh, yes, down on our knees, seeking the Lord, we can be with Him. We can cry out to Him. Oh, yes, we can find Him in the Word, in this Scripture, in this Holy King James Bible that we've been given, this wonderful privilege that we have. Oh, yes, I'm opening up this book and searching these unsearchable riches of God, all these things that were hidden from the foundation of the world that now have been brought to our understanding, that have been revealed, that have been manifest. And praise the Lord God, it takes somebody like Saul of Tarsus, oh, one that persecuted the Christians, one that had all this intent in his heart, and completely change a man. Oh, yes, and give him a completely new spirit, completely new desires, ambitions. Oh, yes, to go forth and proclaim the gospel to the Gentile people. Oh, yes, that's what this man did, that all men might see what is the fellowship of the mystery which had from the beginning of the world been hidden. Oh, yes, that the Gentiles would be of the same body, that we would be heirs of the living God and partakers of the promise which is in Christ Jesus by the gospel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We are so blessed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Oh, that means right now. Oh, yes, we're participants in the family of God. It's still going on. Our Lord is the same. He's here to meet needs just as He was when He walked this earth. He's here to fill us with His Spirit just as He did on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Oh, throughout eternity, we will be with the Lord. We will be in His presence. We will be there. Oh, to give glory. And, oh, my. I'm sure it's going to well up within us. Never ending. Oh, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for what He has done. That plan that He unfolded that we might come to Him and know Him as our Lord and Savior and soon coming King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, God. Oh, Lord, we do praise You. Lord, we do love You, God. Oh, God, we do rest in You, Jesus. Oh, God, and I pray, oh, Lord, that You move in us, that You encourage us, Lord, that You give us that faith that we need. Oh, God, to rest in Thy promises and to go forward and do Your will, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, work in us. Change us. Make us what we ought to be in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We do praise thee. We do worship thee. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's here. Praise the Lord. His promises are real. Amen. We can claim them. In Jesus' name, we can claim them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
God's power to change truly is, to change people is truly an amazing thing. And there's just a song that we don't sing it very often, but it was just been on my mind. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul and how thrilled he must have been when he came to know the Lord for the very first time. And there's a chorus, it's number 176. 176, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Why don't we sing that right now?